Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I am proud to bring you the Urantia book with Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you today?
Oh, very, very good, Hercules. Never better. It was a beautiful day, as you know. Low temperatures around 70 degrees and beautiful sunshine and a nice breeze. It was the perfect day to be outside enjoying Manhattan.
It was a perfect day to be outside enjoying New Jersey as well. Athena and I were out and about, and we participated in a Juneteenth celebration that they were having in our town today. Wonderful time we had.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I took a two-hour walking tour by a friend of mine named Jeff Goodman, who's in real estate, and he hires an extraordinary tour guide named Joyce Gold. And today it was meeting at Trinity Church and taking a tour of the whole area of Wall Street, Trinity Church, and all around that area. And, you know, I worked there for 10 years, and I thought I knew the area very well, but Joyce Gold layered how many things happened in that area, and from the time the Dutch were there and all of that. And she brought to life the most incredible stories about what was really going down at the time, and right from the time the Indians all the way up to the present day. And it was an extraordinary 2 hours.
It sounds like it. And today you're going to take us through the Urantia book, covering periods in time from the past that affect the present. I'm really looking forward to your show, and I'm here if you need me.
Oh, thank you very much. You are the best producer anyone could ever hope for, and I do mean that. Again, to our listeners out there, a very warm welcome to Nick Curto Presents the Urantia Book, a live 60-minute podcast. I'm Nick Curto, your host. A very brief background about yours truly. I now live in Manhattan and have been here a good part of my life. I was born and raised in New England, Springfield, Massachusetts, to be precise. I went to the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in Boston, Massachusetts. I was president of the Catholic Newman Club and the Drama Club. And after graduation, I headed directly to New York City to begin my advertising design career. And also, and this is important, to continue to explore my ongoing spiritual search, as well as other big and very important questions about life that we all have and want answered. I first heard of the Urantia book after attending every Sunday morning for 2 years the All Souls Unitarian Church, located on Manhattan's Upper East Side on Lexington Avenue and 78th Street, for 2 solid years. And after that, one Sunday morning, the minister, for his very last reading that particular Sunday, read a few paragraphs at the very end of the service from a book titled The Urantia Book. And it was very deeply resonating to me right from the very first beginning sentence. It was indeed a huge understatement to say that. It was profound to me, resonated to me, and I just wanted to know so much more about it. After he had finished reading, he said to everyone, peace be with you, go in peace. And everyone left the church. I had to stay about 20 minutes, and I'm not kidding, to recover from what I had heard, because my heart said to me, this is the book that you've been looking for all of your life. And indeed, it turned out to be exactly that. And it was what an incredible experience. I finally found a study group that reads the book every single week. Robin and Helene Jorgensen were the hosts in Soho. And I've been now studying the book for at least 35 years and counting. It's truly been an expansive, breathtaking experience to explore this inspiring, eye-opening, mind-expanding, and truly loving masterwork that is called the Fifth Epical Revelation. The text introduces the world Urantia, and that's the name of our planet Earth, and states that its intent is to present enlarged concept and advanced truth. The book unites religion, science, philosophy, and is unique among literature, and is claimed to be presented by celestial beings. Among other topics, the book discusses the origin and meaning of life, mankind's place in the universe, the relationship between God and all people and all beings in all the universe, and the entire life of Jesus, with huge amounts of information never found any other place. When you're reading part four, which is the Jesus papers, you feel as though you are actually with him, right beside him, and you're learning about his family, his friends, the people that surrounded him, and his adventures and incredible life that he had. Now, the book is 2,098 pages. I'm a longtime member of the Urantia Society of Greater New York, made up of Urantia book readers from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And I've been the past president, vice president, and outreach chair, among other positions, through the years. And I'm currently on the outreach committee, chaired by Barry Clark, an amazing, wonderful man who is very much familiar with the Urantia book. Now, it's been translated into 26 world languages, which is quite a feat. And also, it's been recorded on many languages also. And there's two websites where you can preview what's in the Urantia book, either by reading it or also by listening to it, which is amazing that they did that. I'm going to give you both websites, so if you get a pencil and a piece of paper, I will give them to you so you can go to these two websites later on when you have a spare moment. And I guarantee you, you will love both of these websites. Okay, the first one is www.urantiabook.org. The second one is www.urantia.nyc. Okay, let's get right to it. Tonight, my featured guest on my program is a longtime reader and a very active member of the Urantia Book family. A very warm, warm welcome to you, Diane LeBruck. Diane, are you there? Diane?
She's showing as active on the board, Nick, but I'm not getting any sound out of her.
Oh,
Diane,
what to do?
If you can hear us, Diane, we can't hear you right now. Sometimes calling back in works, so if you can kindly do that. And Nick, if you have her email handy, if you could email her that too, in case she can't hear us.
Oh, okay, we'll do that.
Okay,
oh,
she just hung up. She just hung up.
Oh, so she's back on?
Okay. Not yet, but she did hang up.
Okay, so maybe she'll call in. I'm going to wait a second to see if she does that.
That will be fine, and I'll play a song in the meanwhile, and this way our listeners from home, it's a short song, If You Can Dream, and if she calls back in, I'll interrupt the song.
Okay.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel.
Greetings and welcome back to the Arantia Book with Nick Curto. Nick, your guest is back.
Oh, Diane, hi.
Hi. I don't know what happened. I didn't move. I kept saying hello, and I heard both of you, but nothing was working. Sorry.
Oh, well, we're very happy to have you back. And okay, we'll continue right
what
on.
What an introduction.
Diane,
huh?
A very, very warm welcome to you. I've been so looking forward to having you as my guest, and I'm looking forward to this wonderful hour to come.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you for inviting me. It's quite an introduction, huh, to have the line cut off as you want to say hello for your first time.
All right. Okay. So let me see now. We're going to start with your personal background a little bit, and then we're going to go into other areas of your life, and then we're going to go into the amazing recent worldwide Urantia Zoom mega event, Jubilee of Jubilees. And that's an awesome story and an awesome event. Want to definitely talk about that and all that you contributed to that amazing event. I was very honored to be a part of that. What a great event it was.
And thank you for being one of us, Nick. It was so wonderful to have your great personality to be present with us at that great event. Indeed, it was a great event. We will talk about it later on.
Yes, we will. Okay, well, we're going to start right off, Diane, at the very, very beginning. So I would like to ask you, first of all, where you were born and where do you make your home now?
I was born in Quebec City in Canada, in the province of Quebec, for whoever listens from around the world. And I was born in Quebec City, raised in a family of 12. So here, it was very common to have, that was known as a standard family, 10, 12. If they were six, it was like, what are you doing? You're not working? You're not making babies, you know?
Well, you know, yes, that was the question I was going to ask you. Were you from a big family? And Diane, you just took my breath away. My goodness.
That must have been amazing. Yes. Well, Celine Dion is from here. I live in Montreal right now. Celine is from Montreal, and they were 14. So this was common. I have someone in my family, 24, in a 4.5, two-bedroom apartment.
I am breathless with that. I absolutely am. I can imagine what the bathroom was like. Everybody wanting to get out to their jobs or to their school. And the meals alone must have been wild.
Yes.
I can imagine.
Yes.
That's wonderful. You had so many brothers. How many brothers and how many sisters?
My mother had 11 children. One of them died, I think it was. They were so close. She had 11 children in 15 years, no twins. I have brothers and sisters with months difference, not even a year. And so one was born and died, I think, 2 hours after because she was so exhausted that the baby, the nose was on the forehead and the eyes were on the top of the head.
Oh.
And
I'm
so that
sorry.
Was sad. But anyway, she didn't have time to be sad because she had the whole bunch to take care of and no nanny, no nothing. My father had his career and she was helping him as well. So it was a little industry, you know, it was a little manufacturer. So we were busy.
Wow, I got to say, your mother, oh my goodness, what challenges she must have had, and to go ahead and raise a beautiful family. That's quite a story unto itself. That's quite a story.
Yes. I call her a saint because it's total selflessness, total devotion and love nonstop, you know, so.
Well, you know, Diane, I got to say something now that you mentioned that, and that is when you have someone in your life, perhaps it's your mother or father or someone else that has unlimited love, and you know that, and you see that, and you react to that. Not only is it an overwhelming experience, but you're more apt to understand the unlimited love of God, the universal Father.
Absolutely. You're so right when you say that, Nick. Life teaches you big, huge lessons that most of the time you don't realize on the spur of the moment because you're living it and you're so busy being conscious of living your life. But it's when you look at it, hindsight, they say hindsight is 20/20. I understand why, because you can look back at it and connect the dots, and then you say, I understand why God is, like you just said, you know, from your own personal experience. And so
absolutely.
Life is...
Absolutely right. Now, was your mom and or dad spiritual? Were they spiritual?
Actually, you know, it's interesting you asked me the question. It's the first time I'm being asked that in my life. But I found out later on, many, many years later, that I come from a spiritual family, very religious. I remember my closest sister, her name is Marie, and I was talking with Marie the other day and also a while ago, and then I said, do you remember, Marie? I was so impressed by my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, because she was always praying. She had also a large family of 14 children, and she was always cooking, cleaning, doing everything. And I remember when we would go visit her and the pleasure we had, the aromas and everything, and the warmth and the family. And as she was cooking, she always had her hand, one hand in her apron, we say apron, in the pocket of her apron, and she had a rosary, and she was praying all the time.
Oh, and what then, a wonderful story that is. I love her already. What a wonderful woman.
Yes.
She, oh, my goodness.
Well,
that I can just almost see her. Wow, that really,
absolutely,
you've just blown me away again. You have.
You know, Nick,
how wonderful to have someone like that in the family.
She would
now,
walk on the street. And people would call her ma'am, madam, because she was so gracious and all that. And then my sister told me that from that grandmother, in her family, her brother was one of the bishop that went to the Vatican, to Vatican II Council. You know, yes. And then another one, her sister, helped found the University of Laval, the spiritual side, all kinds of stuff. And then I remember when one of my a cousin of my mother would come to our home, and you know, at the Vatican, how they are with all their robes and their this and people kissing hands and all that. And he came home to see my mother, to visit my mom. And she was all honored, you know, that he was coming to visit her. And I remember seeing my mom wanting to kiss his hand, you know, like people do in Rome. And he would say, like, no, Bernadette, please, you know, don't kiss my hand. I'm your cousin, you know. And I was all impressed, like, who's that man, you know? So we had priests and bishops and all that in my family. So now I know where, I said to my sister, I know where it comes from, my love of spirituality.
Exactly. Your roots were already planted in very fertile soil. On my side of the family, my aunt on my father's side was a nun, and she became a sister superior in the Catholic Church. And it was one of the most wonderful. She's gone now. She's graduated, as we say. I love her so much. I always love to see her come to visit us when she was in town, and I always loved her so much. Sister Cecilia was her name. She wore long robes with a white collar and a rosary beads around her waist, and she was really quite something. She certainly influenced me as well as others in the family. Now, tell us, Diane, briefly, did you go to a school, a Catholic school, or what school did you go to before you you went into your job?
I actually did. And again, I don't need to give a large explanation that the teachers were nuns, and the superior was also a nun and all that. So it was it was part of the decor, and the Catholic Church was so present in the province of Quebec that I remember being raised very religiously. And so when I found out that there were another religion than the Catholic or Christianity, I thought they came from planet Mars. I thought to myself, what? There's something else, you know, because to me, I had been raised all my life that it was part of life. It was just, you didn't question. It was part of your everyday life. And today I thank God and Jesus because it was, I was immersed in that. So you don't question. You just live
That's
it,
right.
You enjoy it, and you share it.
Oh, absolutely true. I felt the same way. When I came to New York City, though, I wanted to explore other spiritual callings, other religions. I really wanted to know more. And, of course, New York turned out to be the perfect place to do that because we have such a mix of nationalities and from all over the world and with very different religious beliefs. And it was just the perfect place for me to get more knowledge of my spiritual life, and I totally understand what you said just now, because it certainly happened to me too. Now, just briefly, I want to ask you, as far as work went, what did you do for your career? What particular area did you go into?
I like to say that I had a triune career, a physical. First of all, I was in a fashion designer, a high fashion designer. I went to school, a private school, to learn fashion design, and then I founded a program at a school that is very well known now. At the time, it was well known in Canada, but now it's known around the world because they have different branches. And I founded the high fashion knit design program, and I dealt with FIT in New York and different organizations. It was really nice. And then after that, yes, and I have always been impassioned by natural health. Again, my grandmother was a specialist of, she had her little Bible of all kinds of herbs and healing plants, so I know where I get that from. And so as I was doing a professional paying career in fashion, I had another passion, which was health. Health of the body at the time and health of the spirit later on, of the soul, I should say. And so all of a sudden, when God felt that it was time, all of a sudden my life changed, and I left the field of fashion design, which I just loved it. I was very successful. I have a trophy at my name. We had great events, everything. And then I left the field of fashion and went to school in naturopathy, like natural health. And that became my paying career, health. And then I did quantum medicine and all that. And again, a few years ago, I left that, and now I'm into spirituality full-time at the service of, I work with and for Jesus, and it's my, I've always loved fashion, so I'm still in love with beauty, and especially when I discovered that beauty is one of the quality of God, you know, truth, beauty, and goodness. And so I understood why I so admired beauty and harmony, and then health, because health of the body and health of the soul goes together, you know. It's very...
Absolutely.
I tell people health is sacred, you know. Your health is given. God is not asking you a monthly payment for your health. All he's doing is, look, kids, I'm going to give it to you for free until about 25, and after that, it's on your own responsibility. You'll have the health that you deserve at 50 if you take care of yourself. And so I taught health and practice, and I had many patients and all that, and did extremely well again, thank to God. And now I'm into, for the rest of my life, until I give my last breath, I'm at his service, and I love it, love it, love it 24/7.
Well, that comes right across, Diane. It absolutely does come right across to everyone around you. And what a wonderful path of your life. I mean, from one to the other, and you can see how that one builds to the next, builds to the next.
Yes.
That's a wonderful
yes.
life path that you've already done, and, of course, more to come. Wow. I love your life story. That's just terrific. Now, let's go. I'm going to jump a little bit now because I want to get as much as we can in, although I have a feeling in fact, I can tell you right now that you're going to be asked back for part two in the fall because you've got so much going on with your life and your joys and your passions, and I really do want to cover that in depth. But let me go right to the Urantia book. And so, where did you happen to come across such a book as the Urantia book? Where were you, and what happened?
I was living in Montreal, where I live now, and I guess God had a different plan for me than other people, I guess. And what should I say? On December 14th, 1990, I'll say it. On December 14th, 1990, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus appeared in my room, and
wow.
I was sleeping. I was suddenly awakened, and I remember the time because I turned my head to the left. You remember maybe, Nick, in those days in 1990, we had little alarm clocks with illuminating in red.
Yes.
So at
night. Me too. Me too. Yes.
Yeah.
I totally remember that. Yeah.
So I remember I was totally struck, and I turned my head to the left, and I saw 3:00, 3 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus appeared in my room. And at the time, I had never heard the name Urantia or heard about a book called the Urantia book, none of it whatsoever. Although I must say that just about all my life, I've been extremely close to Jesus, to God, because when I say Jesus, I mean God as well, because we know Jesus said, you know, the Son and the Father are one. He who has
yes.
seen the Son has seen the Father. And so, and
absolutely.
I remember, by the way, I remember when I was grade one, I think, I had just started school. And one night I went to bed, and being from a large family, I went to bed at night, and I remember during the night, to this day I remember very clearly, being taken up to heaven during the night. And the next morning when I got up, I went downstairs, and you can imagine my mother with all these kids, and all like, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. So it was like a lot of work for her, and she was preparing breakfast. And I remember I came downstairs, and I said, Mom, guess what? Last night I was taken up to heaven to see God.
Wow.
And I remember she said, Yeah. Okay, fine. Come on, have your breakfast. I want to make sure you won't be late for school. And I was just about ready to cry because I thought
absolutely.
She was
safe. Oh my goodness! What news you had! What amazing news you had! But she was doing
yes.
her thing. She was trying to get the kids out. So
exactly.
I can imagine that would be her response. But oh my goodness! I would love to have seen that particular scene. I mean, I could almost in my mind visualize it.
I was so sad, and yet I understand today she was a great mother who wanted to make sure her kids were going to be on time at school, you know. But for me, I felt like so misunderstood at the time. So I learned
right.
to keep it to myself. And so over the years, many things happened, and I never really spoke about it openly. And so back to December 14th, 1990, Jesus appeared in my room. And I won't go into all the details because I feel a bit shy to say this publicly. But anyway, all this to say that he allowed me to be taken up to heaven. And I remember at the time, I did not know the word in seraphim and all that. Today, I can say I was in seraphim, and it sounds very nice and proper, but at the time, I did not know. So when I wrote it in my journal, you know, the experience of everything that happened, today I can say it. I can say it very calmly because over the years I've learned to adapt to this and to stay balanced and all that. But all this to say, he allowed me to be taken up to heaven, and he made me experience the discovery of the reality of what is mentioned in the Urantia book, many things that are mentioned in the Urantia book. And I was gone from my body for quite a long time, a few hours. And when I came back, I remember looking at the time, and I was so speechless because, just like I told my mom before she died, I said, "Mom, wait until you see how beautiful it is, how great, how majestic, how there's no human words. Our vocabulary is so limited in words to describe the reality of God, of his creation, of the universe, of, oh, there's just, I'm telling you, and still today, our vocabulary is just a fraction of what it would should be to describe God and
His
creation.
Can imagine that would be true. How do you begin? Oh my goodness! But you know, I have to say,
yes.
First of all, I want to thank you for sharing that very personal, wonderful, amazing experience that you had. Thank you, Diane, for sharing that with
you,
me,
Nick,
and our listeners. I mean, really, I just can't thank you enough for just that alone. And the fact that you had to keep it quiet, I totally understand that. But that must have been quite a sacrifice to have such a profound experience and such news within you that you really, at that time, could not share. I can imagine that would have been very difficult.
I remember coming back, when I came back in my body, especially after what God made me experience, I remember coming back in my body and having been a fashion designer, it was easy for me to think in terms of seamstress and clothing and all that. And I remember saying to Jesus that I'm glad that my body did not have seams like a garment. You know, when you make a garment, you have seams on the side, seams on the sleeves or whatever. And I remember saying to Jesus, I am so glad that our body doesn't have seams because they would have burst open when I came back in my body. It felt so tight in my body,
wow.
You know. And
oh,
I remember
asking
Jesus to help me because I did not know anything about the Urantia book and what I had experienced. I couldn't put words to it because it was...
Of course.
He made me experience it first, and then later I discovered the book. So all this to say, I remember praying and asking him to help me remain balanced because it was so, so beyond words and beyond imagination that I remember asking him to make sure to help me to stay balanced, because even like in the Urantia book, they tell us the greatest quality of Jesus was his perfect balance. He was such a balanced being. Naturally, he's divine, he's perfect. And so I asked him at the time 30 years and 7 months ago, because there hasn't been a single day since December 14th, 1990, that I haven't remembered this, thought about it, connected with Jesus and all that. And so for years, I did not speak about it. Actually, it's the first time I speak about it publicly. I'm still a bit shy, but now I've learned to live with it and to adjust to those two dimensions of realities, you know, reality dimensions. And so that was the most important thing for me, not to go freaky or to become a weirdo or to become unbalanced, like really, really much on one side or the other side. Or I didn't want that. I wanted to make sure. So I kept quiet, and I just learned to adapt myself into this thing. And so it was months later that I remember going to a business meeting with a man, and I was driving with him in his limousine, and as he was being driven, he was reading. He was sitting in the back, naturally, and I was sitting next to him, and I remember looking at him and then seeing him read this big blue book, and I thought, what on earth is this book about? And so I asked him. His name was Marcel. He and he said, oh, you mean to say you don't know about the Urantia book? And I said, what? The what? He said, in French, because I was born French. So,
right.
Le livre d'Urantia. So I said, c'est quoi le livre d'Urantia? What is the Urantia book? And he told me that it was a revelation and all this. And then he started to read something out loud. And then... Yes, just to give me a taste of what he was reading. And
of course.
As soon as I heard those words, it resonated with me like if I had hit with a nuclear bomb. And I said, oh, my God, where can I get a book like this? And he said, oh, actually, I have some in my trunk. I buy them. I command them. I order them by the box full, you know, like a big box.
Wow.
And,
oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So the car that you were riding in his trunk, he had copies of the Urantia book.
Many. He had boxes, not books.
Boxes of your rent. Oh, my goodness. That is extraordinary. Really, you're blowing me away here again. Oh, my God. Wow.
He said
that you would you like one? Is that what he said?
He said, I have them in my suitcase. I buy boxes of them. And when I meet people that I feel guided or that I see that they're ready to discover the Urantia book, I offer them to. And I said to him, oh, can I have one, please? And he said, oh, sure, when we come back tonight. So we went to our business meeting. And naturally, I had only one thing in mind, that book. I couldn't wait to get it. And so when we came back to his place, I got out of the limousine, and I asked him, I said, Marcel, can I please have a book like I asked you today? And he had the trunk open, and then he said, open one of the boxes, and then here it is. And I remember holding it in my left hand. Oh, it brings me close to tears still today. And putting my right hand on top of the book and feeling that it was such a precious book that I was holding, that it was not, it was, I don't know what the word would be. I just felt it was like this special, special book. I remember it was 15 past midnight. And so I got in my car, I thanked him, hugged him, kissed him on the cheek, naturally. And I drove home, and I got in my house. I sat at at the counter, and I remember praying and asking God. I put the book on the counter, and I raised my hand, my right hand, and I said, God, please guide me to where you want me. My God, it's emotional. Where you want me to read, because it was, like you said, you know, 200,
wow,
almost 2,100 pages. And so I was guided to that. And as soon, and I, my hand was guided to the Pentateuch, you know, the first five papers?
Oh, yes,
in the
of course.
Book?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do we say Pentateuch in French, in English? Pentateuch?
Yes, we could say that.
Okay. All right.
There's four sections. So you're talking about the very first section of the book?
No. The Pentateuch is in the Bible. The Pentateuch is the first five books. The the one that the Jews hold on the dearest, you know, the Pentateuch. So the Pentateuch of the Urantia book, there's a Pentateuch in the Urantia book. And so all this to say, I opened the book there, and as soon as my eyes became conscious of reading the words, tears started to drop down my cheek like a river.
Oh boy.
And
wow.
It couldn't stop. And I knew it was the language of my soul. It was my soul feeling gratitude to be able to put words onto experiences, because I was reading things and it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it was like, oh my God. And that's all I could say, oh my God. And I was reliving what I had experienced, what Jesus had allowed me to read, but...
To read it, right. I have to say, Diane, right at this moment, I have to say, God bless Marcel. God bless Marcel, because what he did was such a gift to you. And what a wonderful man. Now, do you still know him? Have you contacted him since?
He actually was the man who helped bring together IC 93, the International Conference of the Urantia Book Fellowship. From what I heard, I remember he told me, we were still in the limousine, and we were talking, and then he explained about the book, and he said, when he saw my great interest, he said, actually, you know what? There's an event that's going to be here in a couple of years. And it was in 91, because Jesus appeared on December the 14th, 1990. And a few months later, in 91, I discovered the book and received it from him. And so he said, there's actually going to be an event. And I don't know if this is correct, but he said something like, there was a possibility it could have gone to Vancouver, but somehow it was changed to Montreal, just outside of Montreal. And I remember telling him just bluntly like that, oh, I know why. It's because I had to be there. I have to meet those people. And, you know, it was today I laugh, because it was, I see the hand of God had guided me to Marcel. And is the one
Absolutely.
That was connected with the event. And so I met Brent St. Denis, who was the director of the event of the IC93, and actually I was asked to do a keynote speaker, and it was like, that's how it all started with the Urantia book. And
does it get any better than that? I mean, that is such a wonderful you've moved me, and I'm sure you've moved our little audience here, because that is such a beautiful story. That is unbelievably beautiful.
And it's true. It's 1,000% true. God hears me. Jesus hears me. And I see his hand moving along, because all the great things that happened in my life, he did it. I did not do. I don't have any credit. He does it. And when we have faith and we believe in God and we just give him the chance to act with us, through us, and for him, he does miracles. And so this is how it all happened. And I was there at IC93. And on top of that night when I was in my house and I prayed to be guided to read, when I read the first few pages that I saw, I realized that it was so heavy duty for me that it was way too serious to be able to read that by myself. So I made a prayer and I asked God, please guide me to the people that you want me to help me read it and understand it, so I don't go mad or I don't misunderstand or I don't make mistakes or whatever. And this is how, again, nothing to do, no effort, I was guided to Pierre Routier, who is considered the dean of the Urantia book in the province of Quebec.
Huh.
And I went to his study group, and it was interesting because Pierre and I worked together for a few years with the Arantxa project, naturally. And for IC93, I remember that one of his member of his study group, his brother had a television program. And so I was invited on his television program. And guess what? For 6 months in a row, every week, I was part of his program to announce IC93 with different guests every week talking about the Arantxa book and all this. So it turned out that we were 1,000 or 1,200 at IC93. It was a total success because for 6 months, people could watch television and hear about the event. And so another great move of God, because I did not know this person, and that's how it happened. And so it was wonderful, and it continued, and different things happened. And then after that IC93 event, many things happened. And then in 2010, I think, yes, I gave birth. I was inspired and guided to give birth to the United Urantia family. And so we made this beautiful international event where in Montreal at l'université, in the university, one of the universities in Montreal, we had people from different countries come and we gave birth to the United Urantia family. It was a It was an extraordinary event, and Moe Siegel was there, Paula. I won't start to name names now that I think about it, because I don't want to be disrespectful if I forget names, because we were a large group, and it turned out beautiful. And from there unfolded the Easter Spirit Renewal Retreats that we did in Boulder, Colorado, in California, and different places. And then after that, in 2013, Jesus sent me to his Holy Land, and I went there with him alone for almost a month, minus 3 days. And I had never been there, and I rented a car, and I let him guide me. And little did I know that he had a plan behind that, and what the plan was is that he brought me to all the places I had to go and stay, because a few months after, I was inspired to start trips, pilgrimages for the Urantxa book readers to the Holy Land of Jesus. And so we've been making a few trips there, and it's been wonderful, wonderful. Many Urantxa book readers joined us, and we have we've been staying at strategic places. It was just God guided. It was just wonderful, and I marveled at what he did and is still doing, and it continues and continues, and right up to the Jubilee of Jubilees. And now the latest project is Team Jesus Worldwide. And so it continues.
Diane, you seem to be in the right place at the right time. You really do. It's wonderful.
That is well said, actually. I like the way you say it, because, again, I take no credit. I'm at his service. He knows it 24/7. I left two very successful careers, and now I am dedicating myself. Before, I was working with him and for him, but how should I say, part-time? Now I'm full-time. Mm-hmm. So I left my two careers, fashion design and quantum medicine and all naturopathy, and now I'm at his service 365 days a year. And
well, this is so positive. All of it is so positive. Every single step, every single incident is positive. It's loving. It's growth, absolute growth.
Yes.
It's confirming your deepest passions, and it's like someone's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Diane, thank you, and you understand what is needed, and you were there to help. And Diane, I gotta really, from my heart, I just want to tell you how wonderful the story is here that you're sharing with us tonight. It's very moving, truly, and what you're telling us is such a affirmation of love and trust and deep belief in spirituality and in God, the Universal Father. And it's
yes.
just part of you. I want to ask you, I want to go back a little bit because a few things you touched on, I just have to ask, is Marcel still alive?
Oh, I'm sorry, I did not answer that. No, actually, he passed soon after IC93, and so he was instrumental. I did not know that man a long time before. I met him through business, like I said, when I went to that businessmith meeting with him, as I drove in his limousine with him, I met him, and then we knew each other, we got along extremely well. He helped me be part of IC93, and then soon after I learned that he had passed, and I kept saying, thank you, Jesus, again, it's your hand, and thanks to you and thanks to him, I'm on my path, I'm on my new career serving you. And he's waiting to, I'll say hi to him when I go back again.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing, as though I think you're going to get a very big hug, and I think you're going to get a very big hug from him, and you're going to give him a very big hug, too, when
yes.
you do meet again, as the Urantia book teaches, that we will see
yes.
each other again.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that's going to be one amazing, amazing, wonderful time. In both of your universal careers, when that happens. What a wonderful experience, and what a wonderful man to share the Urantia book like he did. I give him so much credit. What a wonderful man. Marcel,
yes.
you are the best. You are. And the other things you've been involved with, wham, wham, one after the other, and all positive, all informing the general public that there's something wonderful out there that you want to share, that we all want to share with them, which is an extraordinary masterwork, a masterwork of love, a masterwork of information that we need to go, especially now. I think you'll agree, Diane, we need the Urantia book now more than ever.
Yes, 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 yes.
With all
yes.
the world
this
and with what's
why...
going on.
This is why we had the Jubilee of Jubilees, because when Josh is the initiator of the Jubilee, of the project Jubilee of Jubilees, and when he came to meet me at the summer study session in Chicago, and one of the summer study sessions, and he came to see me at the table while at lunchtime, and he asked me if I knew about the Jubilee of Jubilees and if he could offer me his document that he had written. And as soon as I read it, I said to Josh, oh, my God, we need to do something about this. And so this is
mm-hmm.
why Josh and I have been working in the past few years about informing, making the Urantia book readers around the world conscious of the importance, the utmost importance of the Jubilee of Jubilees. When we say Jubilee, it's a big, big, big celebration. And when you hear Jubilee of Jubilees, that means it's the celebration of all celebrations. And
now, please, Diane, tell us much more about all the Jubilees that are rolled into this amazing, amazing celebration. If you could list them for our listeners, I think they would be very interested in that.
Yes, actually, because what happened is that most of the world is aware that, you know, when Jesus made his ascension on May 18th, Urantia book readers know that it was on May 18, AD 30, and what happened is that, come on, computer, I'm trying to open my computer because I want to read it to you.
Okay.
Yes, and what happened is that with Josh's paper, we discovered that not only this event happened, the ascension of Jesus who went to paradise and received his sovereignty, but not only that, but 11 events happened at the same time that day, and this is what is enumerated in his paper, and this is what we celebrated the other day when you were part of the event with us, Nick, and this is also what I'm waiting to have the green light from Jesus to go, because we were supposed to go in 2020. A group of us had bought our tickets and we were going to the Holy Land to inaugurate officially on planet Urantia, our planet Earth, the Jubilee of Jubilees in the local universe of Nebedon, the creation of Jesus Christ, Michael himself. And unfortunately, because of COVID, in March, being announced in March, well, we were going in May, so the event had to be canceled. And so I told everyone, as soon as we hear about event and I get the green light from Jesus, we are going to go, and that's going to be so extraordinary to be going there, you know. And so some people, many readers have contacted me and said, can we be there? Because now, thanks to Josh Wilson, once again, the Urantia community, the Urantia family around the world discovered the importance of the Jubilee of Jubilee. That's where the Spirit of Truth was bestowed upon us. And that's where, because I'm nervous now, I want to say it. I lost my paper. I wanted to
Don't be nervous at all, at all. You know, I know for a fact that. There's so many things that are all broke, all happened on May 18th, and this is very extraordinary. I really, until recently, didn't realize what this was all about, and it's just extraordinary that so many events, major events, happened to be on May 18th. It's just an amazing story.
Yes, it is, and it's actually extraordinary that all this happened. And when you read it, everybody received that paper, and they were able to read it and to discover, like, oh my God, we thought that it was only like the ascension of Jesus, you know, and that was it. But no, it was like I'm going to read it within seconds because now it reopened. I guess I left my computer closed for too long. Okay,
I've had that experience even when we're broadcasting live. I've had that experience too.
Oh, my God.
So I totally share that with you. While you're doing that, let me just say to our listeners that if you, our listeners, have a comment or a question for either Diane or myself, We'd be honored to answer that as best we can. I'm going to give you my email address, and you could address that to me. And if it's for Diane, I will give it to her. Or if it's for me, I will answer it and send it back to you. So I'm going to give you my email address right now. And please go ahead. If you have a comment or a question, we'd be very happy to answer them. Here it is. Here's my email address for you. NICKNYNY 1, and that's the numeral 1, not O-N-E, but the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, NICKNYNY 1, at gmail.com. And please go ahead. We would welcome, certainly warmly welcome, anything you'd like to ask or give us an opinion or a question, whatever that is. So, Diane, how you coming?
Okay, so actually it's a beautiful way to end this this interview, Nick, because I'm going to read the 11 events that happened. Okay,
oh, excellent,
so number one.
Excellent.
Yes, number one, Jesus' ascension from Mount Olivet, okay, at about 7:45 a.m. on May 18, 3080. And then two, he traveled to Edentia by way of Jerusalem, and he was returned to status of paradise sonship. Wow. Number three.
Wow. Big wow.
He
big
got
wow.
his Yes, big one, all in caps. Then 3, formal confirmation by the Universal Father of Michael's completed sovereignty of the universe of Nebadon. He actually completed his 7 bestowals to receive his sovereignty, the sovereignty of his universe, the creation of his own.
Points, we're going to get cut off. We have less than a minute left.
Oh, okay. Really? Oh, less than a minute for the whole program?
Yes.
Okay, Diane, what we're going to do then, we're going to save that for our part 2, which will come up very shortly. I will give you dates for that. Okay,
so
I want to send you our love.
Tell them that
our
we
love
gave them a foretaste.
No, Diane, we're going to go off the air. I can't. Just much love to you. This is Nick Curto for the Arantia book, wishing you all an enlightened journey, a life's journey. Till next time, please explore the deep wisdom and limitless love contained in the Arantia book. Stay safe and be very, very kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Much love to all our listeners and everyone on this beautiful, beautiful planet.
Bye, Nick.